Summer 2021 is driving people to events and happenings, and Roraconda is part of that drive. From parking lot shows, hosting comedy acts, to a collab with Mancini's,
Rorik knows the importance of community fun. Congratulate them on a record month in May and browse their inventory in Bloomfield. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And now we start the Ajagoff podcast from We're Back at Traff.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
A nice mellow start.
Cue the woo.
Right.
It's early.
If you're new to the podcast, this is where we want you to stop, subscribe to it, and then put some notes on Apple iTunes so people know that we're all right. Yeah.
Good notes. Okay, so our blog this week. If you haven't noticed, we're trying to get into the habit. Obviously, Tuesday is when the podcast drops, but Thursdays we're trying to do Jagging Around With. So we find a different way to showcase either unique Pittsburghers or people who are basically passing through. So we thought it would be fun this time to show you how non-athletic I am because I tried kickboxing at I Love Kickboxing in Kennedy. I dropped the B word in that video, and John was like, can we keep this? And
right.
We did. We
because
kept it.
Because we know you're on a certain school board, yeah.
And you I had told to put, them. Yeah. Right. So anyway, that was approved. So check that out on Thursdays because we're really trying to get that rolling. But in the meantime...
And this week is going to be a really good one.
It is going to be. Because somebody was rolling in from out of town.
Right.
But on the blog is where we call out Jagoffs. So they could be anything. As you know, John's favorite are the ones who are driving. John is not one of them. Dramatic pause. But anyway, he always seems to find the ones in vehicles who are doing crazy things. I actually... got the Jagoff of the Week on Alyssa on Friday at 10:55 because we tell her, who's the Jagoff of the Week? It was my son's girlfriend. But it wasn't really her. She was a victim of someone writing the word congats on her car. So these high school grads wrote congats Mel. And we knew it was her because her name is Melanie. So Alyssa, shout out to Alyssa because I didn't think we were going to talk about who the person was, but she called me out. So if I become her mother-in-law, that's going to be her story from here on out.
Right.
Just saying.
Right. And dumb criminals are always what we have on the blog as well. This week, there was a guy who was pulled over and they found all kind of things in his car. And he was in, you know, they chased him and pulled him over, put him in jail. And when he was in jail, he being detained, he asked, can I please have the $10,000 cash that was in my car?
Who does that?
So I get it. You probably don't want to lose the $10,000 cash. But I think when you ask for that, you sort of open yourself up for like, why is there $10,000 cash in my car?
Right.
So should have just kind of laid low.
Shut up.
Used his phone call to somebody and say, go get that cash from underneath the seat. But not necessarily the smartest criminal in the world.
Listen, make sure you're listening to Star, the 100.7 Star app, Odyssey. We do the Daily Dose of Happiness every day at 4:55 with Kelly. And again, the Jagoff of the Week with Alista. We love those guys. And while we're name dropping them, we are doing a fun promo. If you have not seen it yet, John, crack open a Yinzer Truly at 9 a.m. I'm not going to do it because...
It's warm.
It's warm.
Right. It's not the time. It's that they're not cold.
That's it. There's no ice to be had. So basically, check out the promo that we're doing. You can follow us on all of our social to see how you can enter. But basically, you tag Truly and you tell us why you're the perfect Pittsburgh Yinzer. And it could be anything. But show us a picture. You could do a video. Whatever. And you get entered to win. First of all, you get prizes from them. But then you get entered to win the Ultimate Yinzer Olympics on July 10th at Dive Bar in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, listen, hashtag truly Yinzer. Take that
did
picture.
Did Sarah Z's like right already enter?
No, she okay. didn't enter. But
I called her
you know,
out.
But
soon
she's so close to bribing the judges because she's matching yeah. my T-shirt today.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
our
yeah.
First of all, who are our guests this week? We know Byron Nash is going to be on.
Byron Nash is our Saturday Night Live guy. Like, he's he could fill right. in for me. I've said that before. I forget. There's somebody else that I said that before about. But it could be Frizzy. Yes,
yes.
It could be Frizzy. And it could be Greg Brown if John's, you know, fanboying.
Right.
So, but we are actually having Byron again because he is performing here tonight. So we're super excited for that because
6 o'clock. This stage, Byron. This yeah. stage right here, which is overlooking PNC Park.
Which
right?
is, isn't it called the Allegheny Overlook?
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
AO
right.
with BN. And then, and then we have Sarah Z's, who is like the, in our eyes, she's the cultural trust curator of it all. I mean, she's been working on this, I think, for 8 years, but it's only been like 6 months.
The,
right?
the face of Traff.
The face of Traff.
Wouldn't you say?
And she wants to dress like John, which is so weird.
Right? We're like beige on the bottom,
so
Traff on the top.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right?
We're adorable.
And that's what I said. If I turn my hat around, I look like
then
I even have a ponytail.
Yeah.
We're going to Kennywood.
No, we're bringing our matching outfits to Traff. Kennywood matching outfits.
Who needs
so
Kennywood
1980s.
Right.
It's 2021. Pick out your outfits for
Traff. Nice.
There you go.
So tell us, get us warmed up. Traff, we missed you guys last year. It was all online. But now people have the choice to do it online if they want.
Yeah.
But they can come down here and kind of air their wares tonight.
They totally can. Yeah, we have a hybrid festival this year because, you know, some folks might not be quite ready to come out. And we couldn't accommodate all the stuff that we normally have. So, you know, in a normal year, in 2019, the shirt that we're rocking here, John, we had almost 400 visual artists in our artist market over the course of the 10 days. So we had that planned originally for 2020. And then, you know, we had to pivot, as they say.
Swear
word.
So, you know that's so a swear word.
Is it? Is yeah. it? There's four letters in pivot. So we could only bring back 157 this year, which okay. is still stellar. We've got 157 artists in person over the course of the 10 days. So they're going to, the artists that are here today in the Allegheny Overlook Cultural District area, these guys are here till Tuesday. The guys in the Point are just here till tomorrow because we're in the Point Friday, Saturday, Sunday, both weekends. The Point has to rest Monday to Thursday. The grass gets tired. It's like a lot for it. You know, you don't want a mud pit. This is our first time out in 15 months. We got to be gentle with the grass. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So
sure.
the grass is going to rest Monday to Thursday.
The grass is pivoting.
Yeah.
The grass is, you know, rejuvenating,
yeah. okay.
refreshing.
Grass doesn't have to pivot.
No, they don't. I mean, it's okay. Their grass's mission is okay. But
okay.
It needs to rest so it doesn't turn into mud.
Okay.
Yeah.
So although the weather looks stellar.
Yeah.
So
you know. Notice but we didn't do any of the rain puns because
I can't even
we really
believe
don't have
it.
To. Right.
Well,
we
can't
don't
even
have to.
Believe
gonna,
it.
But I feel like people would come out if it was a monsoon because they're just happy
yeah,
to get out.
Right.
And like you said, it's everyone's preference. Some people
right.
are not ready and
right.
we understand that. But for those who are
yeah.
Yeah.
And those other 200 artists that we couldn't accommodate in the footprint this year, those guys are all online. They're virtual. So you can
oh.
stay home. You can do both. You can come down and shop. You can go home and keep shopping. We've got videos up on the website. We've got the galleries have a web presence now. So lots of stuff virtually happening. And then all of our main stage concerts, which the Dollar Bank main stage is down in the Point. So 7:30 shows there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, both weekends. We kicked that off last night with Celise, and she was incredible. She was, I mean, I know I booked the artist, so it's kind of like, did a really good
do you want
job,
me to pat you on the back, or
right.
can you extend?
Like,
Byron's
the
right
whole,
there. Byron can reach
Byron
in and
can.
Pat you on the
I
back
mean,
here, yeah.
There were people that came up to me that were like, she can really play guitar. And
yes.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she can. And you see her, like, on her videos, and you're like, oh, she opened for Mariah Carey, and she played guitar with Lizzo, and she's got all these credentials, and you're like, yeah. But then she shows up in person and you're like,
incredible.
Oh,
fun fact about yeah. John Chamberlain. He loves Lizzo.
I
do.
Do
it.
I love
yeah.
Lizzo.
On my DM. That's what he always hears. On my DM when it comes on the radio.
Lizzo's the best, man. I do.
Right? But
yeah.
isn't it funny that John loves Eminem and Lizzo?
It's correct.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
What are you expecting in terms of people? Like, I heard Byron, you guys were talking before we came on, and he was saying people were literally coming up to him and saying, I will see you tonight.
Yeah.
Is that what you're hearing? I mean, obviously you're getting a mix of both, but what is that vibe like? I saw a woman on the news this morning on Channel 2 who, her smile was ear to ear, and she said, I can't wait to see people, you know? And she was so thrilled.
And people were out last night. You know, we had thousands of people. And it was a Friday, you know, Friday afternoon. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, nobody works downtown. Normally when we kick off on Fridays, we get a big crowd at noon when we kick off and people come down on their lunch hours.
Sure.
And then it kind of slows down, and then people start coming back at 5. And I was like, well, no one works in offices anymore, so right. I don't know what's going to happen. Girl, it was like 10:30, and artists were down here opening their tents because people were like, hello, like,
wow,
ready,
yeah,
ready.
That's great.
It was great. Yeah. And the folks at we've got 3 info tents on site. So if you're confused at all, pop by our info tents, you know, they'll help you. But
is that for navigation?
It's for navigation. It's for accessibility. It's for information. It's for T-shirts. You know, all the things.
Okay.
So our friend Kathy, who has worked TRAF forever at the info booth, she was down at the point. She said not one person was mean. Not usually the info booths get the like, I went to this artist and why isn't this vendor taking cards? And, you know, I heard that this person was going on at 6 o'clock and it's 6:04 and it hasn't started. Not one.
Wow.
Everyone was just
Sarah does
like,
not have a Yinzer accent, so she does a different accent. Because
I can. Do you want me to do it as a
Yinzer? Yeah.
Yinzer guy said the creativity zone was going to be open until 8, and it is only 7 o'clock, and it's shut down down there. It is shut down.
Shut down.
Oh my God,
that happened. I will apologize to all of the people. We did have a misprint in our program. The giant Eagle Creativity Zone is only open 12 to 6. It is printed in the program as 12 to 8. So we are trying to hustle to see if some organizations can stick around those extra hours or fill in with volunteers, because we don't like to advertise wrong hours.
Sure.
We had a lot to proofread.
Yes,
it was a hustle. It was an overlook.
Sixes
we are
look
sorry.
Like eights,
but listen,
people.
But
it happened.
Listen,
it was our bad.
You know, and
anyway.
We know, you know, people don't leave your kids until 8 o'clock there, right? Come
also,
back at 6 and check in. This isn't, we're not your babysitter.
We're
down
not.
Here.
No, and there's no hands on this time. And this is a take and make situation,
yeah,
folks.
Okay.
Like, swing by, say hello. Take your craft from whatever.
Yeah.
I think Sweetwater Center for the Arts is there today, so they'll have a little craft
that
you can take home. I do. I'm on the board, so I have to love that place. But I do love that place.
Yeah.
So they will be on site today. You can take your craft. We're also partnering with 412 Food Rescue. So, you guys, food insecurity is still a thing. It really peaked in 2020, and it's still a thing. There's still so much stigma around it, which is sad because there shouldn't be. Like, if you need help, please ask for help. There's so much help around this town, and 412 Food Rescue is doing a great job. And so if you want to bring down a non-perishable, you can drop it off at our Giant Eagle Creativity Zone, because Giant Eagle's also trying to bring awareness around that and get rid of that stigma and say, like, look, we've got people that can help you, nothing to be ashamed of. So if you want to support that or can support that, or if you just want more information on the programs 412 Food Rescue has, because they've got a ton of stuff going on, that'll be there too. So that, you know, but even those people that were like, hey, you said this was going to be open later. They were like, guys, we thought this was here till 8 because it says it in the book. They were so nice.
Okay.
Like, no one was mad yesterday.
That's
Everyone
great.
Was just so happy to, like, be back out with the people and the artists and the music. And then there's freaking corn dogs and everything. Like,
freaking corn dogs. They're not just corn dogs. They're
the
freaking corn dogs.
Yeah. You guys, literally, Celise played last night until we have a curfew at 9 o'clock. The music has to stop. So she stopped. She rapped at 8:58 because she is a professional. We chatted, whatever. I'm heading out of the park at 9:15. There is still a line of people halfway through the grass. Waiting for funnel cakes and fried Oreos.
And Sarah's like, the grass needs to rest.
The grass, needs to go night-night. It's grass's bedtime. Get your funnel cake tomorrow.
So we are on Facebook Live now, but the podcast comes out on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So what do we look forward to after Tuesday?
Well, Tuesday, some friends from the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra are going to be on this stage, and they are friends who play instruments that you have to blow through. So these friends have not been playing for a year and a half. Like, they're the orchestra's percussion and strings have had some opportunities, but the woodwinds and brass, they were like, dude, you're projecting all all the germs. You gotta stay home. So these musicians have been playing, you know, on Zoom by themselves for 15 months until they started rehearsing last week. And speaking of ear-to-ear smiles, I ran into one of the brass players coming out of the hall the other day, and he was just like, we're rehearsing for the show.
Isn't
like,
that wonderful?
He just couldn't have been happier. Yeah. So they're Tuesday night. We're so happy to have them back. Wednesday, we've got Beauty Slap.
Y'all love
Beauty Slap.
Yeah,
so I don't need to say anything else.
Right.
Wednesday, we've got Beauty Slap. Thursday, we've got a breaking battle. What now?
Wait, like breakdancing? Like Electric Boogaloo?
Yes. So from,
you guys are too young, but
so the
Electric Boogaloo.
Byron's not. Byron.
Yeah, he just looks ridiculously younger.
He doesn't.
Than me.
I know. So and also we're like the same age, but it's fine.
Ish. I guess. Ish. Go on.
Okay.
Go on.
Anyway, yes. Breakdancing, Electric Boogaloo here Thursday. The DJ starts at 6:00. The dancers will start at 7:30. But you know the timeline is fluid for dancers, so they might show up a little before 7:30.
Well, pivot and fluid are on that list.
Are they? Okay, I'll stop. I'll stop.
It's like, this is going to be like
family. They're the worst. No.
I love you, and you speak the most eloquent way. Remember, John always says you could replace me. Like, he always says anybody I would call, if you could not make it, it would be Sarah Z's. But don't say fluid or you're...
I'm dead. Okay, fine. So, but DJ Inception's going to start at 6:00. And then the dancers have a call time of 7:30. But there's a fair chance they're going to show up. They get excited, you know?
Yeah.
And but the battle... So they'll probably show up and warm up and get loose and get ready. And then the battle is going to start at 7:30.
Oh,
and
my God. That's
going to
be so much fun.
It's going to be so much fun. And also on Thursday, our friends at the Office of Public Art are doing a little meet and greet with two artists who have public art happening during the festival, Thaddeus Mosley. And if you guys don't know Thaddeus Mosley, I feel sad for you, and you need to change that. He is doing a meet and greet, a little talk in EQT Plaza where his sculptures are on Thursday night at 6:00. So you can go chat with Thad over in EQT and then walk over to 6th Street and chat with Jayla Patton, who is incredible and painted strawberries along strawberry galaxies. They're beautiful, and I want more of them. I'm like, I need more of this, Jayla.
Yeah.
Just like I need more Janelle. Like, I want all the women to paint all the streets in these beautiful, bright, colorful ways. So, anyway.
And this was Janelle? Is that what?
This is Janelle.
Okay.
And Jayla's over there. So, on Thursday, you can go talk to Thad and then Jayla, and then you're right here so you can pop right over and, you know, watch the break dancers.
I love it.
Yeah. So
we'll
Thursday's fun.
Right. Yeah. What's the big finish?
What's the big finish?
Yeah,
like
next
Friday,
weekend. Yeah,
like
Friday.
Next weekend.
Is this where we chant
Byron Nash?
No, that's
he's tonight.
He's wrapped by then. Yeah.
That's tonight.
I know. I was just saying.
So
he's one of my
Friday. I know. He's great. I know. So Friday, we have a blues artist coming in named Sugar Ray Rayford. Like, can you even make up that name?
That used to be my nickname in high school.
He's a boxer.
Yeah.
Not true.
JK.
No. Right. Different Sugar Ray.
Different Sugar Ray.
But you guys may have heard Shamika Copeland was supposed to kick us off on Friday. And we were so sad to hear that I got a phone call about 2.5 weeks ago at this point that she went in for a just regular medical checkup and they found something and they had to take care of it right away and health first.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And so she personally called after her agent called and we did this whole thing and she was really sad and hopefully this all gets taken care of quickly and she goes back out. She's hoping to go back out in like August, September. So I'm hoping to bring her back in the fall. But Sugar Ray was like, yeah, I can come.
That's
I mean, two
fabulous.
And a half weeks
yeah,
notice
right?
and Yeah, what a
again?
Pro.
Anxious to get out.
And
right?
Well, and yes, I love the eclectic yes. scene, yeah. right? So it's it just runs the gamut of different
and
entertainment.
He just has a voice for days. I mean, yeah. just this big bluesy yeah. voice, you know. So he's Friday, and then y'all, Caroline Rose is coming back on Saturday, and I don't know if you remember, but she was opening. She was touring with Marty Stewart.
Okay.
And something happened with Marty's wife. Similar thing. They were on tour. Everything was fine. And then Marty's wife had a medical emergency. And Marty was like, I got to go be with my wife. Correct, sir. That is always
good
the
answer.
Right answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said, Caroline can you know, headline for me. And we were like, we don't really know who this woman is. And then she headlined. And we were like, oh, oh,
wow.
yes,
that's
sir,
great.
You were correct.
Yeah.
Thanks for the scoop on this woman because
yeah.
she is amazing. And now she's touring on her own as a headliner and playing shows. And so she's Saturday night. And then we're going to wrap it up with Sun Little.
Okay.
Okay.
Next Sunday night. And Sun Little's
we're
just
back.
Feels like forever.
Traff is
but,
back.
But it's not.
Do you have a tip? Do you have a tip for anybody coming down here
sunscreen.
For the first time? You know, what would be
and
your
and comfy
tip?
Shoes.
John,
comfy
that isn't the question of the day, though.
No, but what would be oh. your tip? Don't give a tip.
Oh,
we
where's
can have
sunscreen?
A question of the day. Where? Mine would be, if you're a guy and you're wearing a tank top, wear clear deodorant. Don't put white pasted deodorant on if you're wearing a tank top because that's
normal.
Weird.
And then he comes
all
up
right.
with this ridiculous.
And do you have one tip? One tip for somebody? Like go to the app,
top.
Go to the website, check it out first before you come down.
Yes, all of those things. Check it out first before you come down. But for real, wear comfortable shoes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Our footprint is much bigger this year, from all the way from the point to 8th Street and back. So. The cool thing is, if you have, like, one of these watches or a Fitbit or something, y'all are going to get all your steps
yeah.
in. So you're not going to feel bad about your funnel cake. You
right.
know, you can get your funnel
yeah.
cake because you're like, oh.
10,001.
Yeah, I
yeah.
got 10,001.
Yeah.
Yummy yum. Yeah, yeah. no problem.
She rhymes.
I do.
Sarah, where does everybody follow this?
Trustarts.org/traff.
Listen, nice. We love having you. Ready for the question of the day?
Yeah.
All right.
Always.
Sarah, are you going? Sun's out. It's summer. Right? You know how Pittsburgh is. We're finally happy that the rain's not so
bad. Dollar
Bank
Three Rivers Arts Festival is the unofficial kickoff to summer.
That's what
we opened yesterday.
We love
it is summer.
But don't go there. Come to Traff. All right. So since it's the unofficial start to summer, sun's out, guns out, or slow and steady. So basically, are you ready for summer attire? Sandals?
Sun's out, guns out. Look at me. Look at me.
Well, I say that because
but don't
John
get
never
my
heard
feet
of
yet
out,
because
guns
I have a petty appointment.
Oh. Girl,
a little
Tennessee.
Later. Yeah, yeah. But I could. I mean, I'm getting it down here. I can't go back home.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
once I'm out, I'm
I
out.
Get it.
So.
I get it.
But
Sarah,
my feet will look better later.
You look fabulous. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I'm so glad
yeah.
we get to see you.
Nice,
so dramatic.
Right?
I love
right?
it.
And we need golf applause for that.
Yeah, seriously. Like, look at
golf,
Sarah. She's
yes.
just
golf
always
clap.
On top. Kev, look at her getting you all set ready.
Look at
she
yeah,
does it
she's
all.
Like yeah,
she
yeah,
does it all
she's
at
like
the
usher at the PNC. You need to tip her $2, Kevin.
We just forgot to like, tell him that part. So
all right, have a seat. Come
listen,
on in.
This is the perfect setup because it's not like dramatic. Like we're waiting for somebody to come on. You literally, Kevin was just like sitting 3 feet from us, so
right.
that's kind of cool. So here's how this story went down. We knew we were covering Traff because, again, it's one of our favorites. It's something that we do every year. And we were so excited to find out that Byron was going to be on with Sarah. And listen, we know Sarah's long-winded, so we knew we didn't need four. Oh, hey, Sarah. We knew we didn't need four guests. And we knew that there was so much to talk about with Traff. So we said, how do we balance art? And we thought, well, let's talk some sports.
And how appropriate that PNC Park is sitting right behind us.
Well, right. And right. how appropriate that I worked with Kevin Gorman of Trib Live years ago. So we get to talk to him because I had a little in, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God for me. No, but we're
you know
we're
names.
Really
you know names
I do.
Pittsburgh.
I do.
Yeah.
But no name drops here. But Kevin has really worked with all of the greats, all of the great teams here in Pittsburgh. And I will seed this. I don't think I told you this story. He has a really cool story about Traff and why he likes it. Because, you know, we always ask people, like, do you come
yeah.
to, you know, mm-hmm. do you actually partake in this event? Have you been here before? He has a really cool story about Trav.
Nice.
You want to welcome him?
So, yeah, welcome Kevin Gorman from Trib Live. What's hey, up? How are you?
How about great. That intro?
That was a beautiful intro. Thanks so much.
Now, yeah. he has to pay me the $2. He's really losing
right.
it.
Yeah, yeah he's like, wait, I already paid to park? Yeah.
Breaking
right.
my pockets down there. You know, it's great. It's great to be back at Trav. You know, back in the day 30-some years ago when I would come down here, it was just called the Three Rivers Arts Festival. But I used to take the 51B Spencer from Baldwin and ride it down every morning and work at a food booth at the Arts Festival for 3 weeks.
How about that?
And I was only 14 years old. I was under the table, under the age. And we would sell hot dogs and nachos and drinks and chips and things like that. And then when Trav was over, I spent the summer working a hot dog cart in Gateway Center. So I was the hardest
that?
Part of the job truly was just
truly.
How about,
boom!
Yeah, there's your plug.
So good.
The hardest part of the job truly was having to push the cart up a ramp to get it back into the building at the end of the shift. But, I mean, it was a great job to have as a 14-year-old kid just hanging out, selling drinks and hot dogs and enjoying the beautiful
cool,
weather.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
You know, I know that there's a reputation for it raining all the time. But
right.
what I remember is the weather being like this every single day the time that I worked here. It was just it was a really great experience. And the cool thing to make it even more Yinzer was I have relatives on Mount Washington.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Nicely done.
And so I would stay sometimes on the weekends or whatever with my cousins. You know, and but I would go up, would take the incline, you know, just take the T over to the incline or walk across the Smithfield Street Bridge and would take the T up and stay in Mount Washington, come right back down. And so that made it even more special is just to hang out in the city with my city cousins,
yeah.
you know.
That's
I don't know if I tell people, but I've got more than 100 cousins, first, second, and third cousins. So, you know, Joe Bendel used to always say to me, I'd say, oh, I ran into one of my cousins. He said, when don't you?
Yeah, right. Well, because you got... I don't know if I ever asked you this. The Gorman's Pub in... Is that you guys?
No relation, but we're the same age. I grew up with Bill, who's the owner.
Oh, okay.
He's from Brentwood. I'm from Baldwin. We played basketball against each other as kids, so I've known
relation.
Him my whole life.
Okay.
But no relation, but I'll gladly claim it. I actually tried one time to get served there for free, and I showed them my ID and said, my brother owns the place. And the girl was, the bartender said, no, my brother owns the place. So she knew that I wasn't related to her.
Funny.
So I kind of got busted on that one.
No, I do remember you having a ton of family here. But I love, do you remember when we interviewed Nick Paradise from Kennywood, and we said, you have to come up with some kind of like time capsule of stories because people talk about going to Kennywood from way back and what their stories were like and what they wore and what they did. This is like the perfect Trav experience where you could talk to people. I mean, 14 years old and 30 right. years later, this is, yeah. you know, what
and
it
I
looks
come
like.
Every year. It's, right. it's not like I just did it one time.
Right,
I
mean, right.
This has become an annual thing for me to come down and visit the
Sarah.
Arts Festival.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Scott Hunter, who's doing an opening tonight at the Zinka Gallery, who was on display here, and I used to come down and see his artwork and just kind of come down
that.
And pay tribute.
Kevin's so homework.
It's right. fun for things like that.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is we used to, so I grew up in McKees Rocks, and the bus came out of town, and that's when you did not pay. You paid getting off. So we would catch the bus coming out of town, take it all the way around the loop and up through Kennedy Township because we had time to waste,
yeah.
and then ride it back into town. So we got to the Trav free.
Oh, wow.
I worked at the Prima Donna in the Rocks.
Is so that right? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I worked
yeah.
there for Joe Costanza, as okay. a family friend. Yeah. So.
We just interviewed Maria.
Hey, yeah, right.
That's so cool.
Hey, do you want some,
yeah,
want some fresh zucchini?
Right? Yeah, seriously.
Fresh zucchini.
I used to do a presentation where I would give everybody the salad dressing, you know,
because
I was a busboy at the time, right on, you know, college.
My mother
years.
Bought, like, cases because they started selling it at Giant Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, see how it's so easy to kind of get off track. Anyway.
So now, from hot dogs to writing for the Pirates beat. Now, that can't be an easy job at this point, and we're going to go down on them, right? But let's. How do we get from one to the other?
Well, you know, it's a long journey. I started at writing in high school, right from my high school paper, went to Point Park University, was Point Park College back then, wrote for their newspapers, you know, freelance for the Post-Gazette, went to Penn State, transferred to Penn State, and wrote for the college newspaper. I was lucky enough to cover the Penn State team in 1994 that won the Big Ten championship, went undefeated, won the Rose Bowl, had two Heisman Trophy ceremony finalists. And so I had a chance to cover all those things and did a bunch of internships and traveled the country doing the internships. So I worked one summer in Memphis at the Commercial Appeal, the next summer at the Arizona Republic in Phoenix. I went from there to the Dallas Morning News and from there to the Kansas City Star. And then I came back in 99 to work for the Trib, and I've been there for 20-plus years. So
And interview, right?
Yeah.
How about that?
He, like, did more then I mean, I literally just
you're
did
tired
stuff.
Listening,
right? No,
I told you it's an impressive background. No, and you know, as you know, John, I am like the dork as far as I love journalism, right? I love hearing people's stories. I love knowing what they covered. And when we were talking, like I said, hey, I really want you to come on and talk about sports, but I also want to know your thoughts on Traff. And it's not just the fact that he can name drop the places he worked. He's covered like both Super Bowls, the win, the loss. How cool is that?
Yeah, right.
And we have a common friend in Santonio Holmes. I mean, we can seriously name drop him because we do, as you know, we do his sickle cell event every year. And you've interviewed him a couple times, right? Talking about what it was like to be the MVP, still the reigning MVP, because Pittsburgh, unfortunately, it's a good thing and a bad thing because unfortunately we've not won since. But he's still the reigning MVP. Talk a little bit about what that experience was like.
Yeah, it was an amazing game to cover, first of all. Just an amazing week in Tampa. Loved every single thing about my first Super Bowl. I didn't get to cover the one in Detroit.
Okay.
So I've covered two out of the three during my time at the Trib. But, you know, obviously two plays that are going to go down as two of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history both occurred in that game, both at the end of – essentially at the end of a quarter with James Harrison's 100-yard interception return right before half. And then Santonio Holmes making the touchdown catch that provided the winning points for the Steelers. And, you know, I really remember James Harrison's because when I went into the locker room, I was the first person to get to James Harrison. And he was so exhausted that he hadn't taken off his shoulder pads. Like, he was so gassed at that point that he had to ask one of his teammates to take off his pads. I'll never forget that, of seeing James Harrison, this, like, massive figure, being just slumped in a chair and being like, can you help me get my pads off because I can't lift my arms?
Wow.
But I got cornered in his locker. You know, the media scrum comes and surrounds you, and I just got pinned. I couldn't move. And so I heard James Harrison tell the story of the interception in incredible detail over and over. Who blocked for him, how he felt at the 25-yard, the 50-yard line, how he thought he was going to die, and then he decided to get a second win. He was like, well, I better score. And, you know, hearing him telling the story over and over and over to different hordes of the media, and I just was stuck there and had to listen, but it was incredible. And then finally, at the very end, a young guy comes in and he's – with on behalf of Sirius Satellite Radio, and he said, James, you know, this guy's would like to have you on their show. Would you mind coming on? And he said, yeah, but I'm done talking about the interception. I'm done. And this guy was like, you know, it's like one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history, and you don't want to talk about the interception. Like, I felt bad for the kid, but I also like knew what he was dealing with and on James's side of things. But
you were like, I heard it 18 times,
yeah, exactly.
But you don't get it.
Yeah. I felt like, hey, here's my tape recorder, just play that. But Santonio Holmes' play was incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that's amazing about it is the very exact same play was thrown to the left side of the end zone one play before, and he dropped the ball. And that's the thing he talks about is the second chance that he got to really make history there. And they, you know, that's the confidence Ben Roethlisberger had in Holmes was he said, we're going right back to you opposite side.
Yep.
And Ben Roethlisberger made a throw where only Santonio Holmes could catch it. And Santonio Holmes made a catch that I would say only Santonio Holmes could have caught.
Right.
That tiptoe catch at the corner of the end zone, our photographers Chris Horner and Chaz Palla were there and got incredible images. And I can tell you this, I was in charge of writing the MVP story. The play of the game story had already been taken at that point because the Harrison story had become the play of the game. And so we were kind of like, well, if Harrison's the MVP, the play of the game will become something else. But so I'm writing the MVP story, and at this point in the game, the Steelers have the lead, and I'm writing about Ben Roethlisberger. And then the Cardinals come back, and I'm writing about Larry Fitzgerald and Kurt Warner and their comeback. And I have three MVP stories going at once, and then they throw that pass, and Santonio Holmes catches it as the game ends, and they announce Santonio Holmes as MVP, and I haven't written a word about him yet.
Oh, my God!
So when the Steelers, here I am, a Pittsburgh kid who grew up in the City of Champions. I was 6 years old in 1979 when the Steelers won the Super Bowl, the Pirates won the World Series, and I'm getting to witness this, you know, firsthand watching this in person, and I don't get to see any of the celebration. I just put my head down and start writing.
Yeah.
And I had to write the MVP story on deadline. Wow. Thankfully, I had that Roethlisberger story done. So they, in the newspaper ways, you know, they have to fill a hole. They have to fill a space. So they put the Roethlisberger story in and then replaced it with my Santonio Holmes MVP story. But the thing about the MVP is they have a press conference the next morning with the winning coach and the MVP. And it was at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was up till like 2 or 3 in the morning. I was the guy that had to get up and do that story, the follow-up story again. But it was pretty amazing just to witness that.
I'm sure.
To be up close in person with the guys who made these incredible plays that we'll talk about for the rest of our lives.
about that.
I love that. Yeah, that's so cool. And that actually, you intrigued me into, I love to know like the background of things when people have a unique job. So obviously you have a unique job. But what's the elbowing and the wrestling like of the scrum, as you called it, when you're in the locker room and, you know, you're trying to pick out who, obviously if someone scores the winning goal, it's the home run, whatever, that's the person you go interview. But what's that like when everybody's just piling in there and you're trying to reach your microphone in there, and what are some of the dirty plays people, you know, do they elbow, do they kick, do they,
and you don't have to name names. Right. Like Mike Pursuta elbowed
it, just the, it just looks really intriguing to me, like someone's trying to get the edge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the smaller guys sometimes they have the advantage because they can kind of slide in and go sideways or whatever, so they sometimes have the edge. Where you see problems is when there's a photographer or videographer trying to get a shot and somebody puts their recorder right up in front of their camera. You'll see an arm come down and give them a chop real quick. Like it's without hesitation. And so for the most part, people are pretty good. It's typically when you're at a national event where like the locals kind of all know how to fall in line and stay out of each other's way. When you're at a national event, somebody wants to squirm their way in. I actually saw when I was covering a golf event in Memphis one time, I saw a guy push past everybody and push to the front and be really rude about it. And I remember thinking, like, wow, I can't believe he's doing that. Like, that makes us all look bad. And he was at, you know, he was up on the green, and the green was, like, elevated. It was up on a little bit of a hill. And as he pushed, as he got to the top, the grass was a little bit wet, and he slid down the hill. We were all just
like, karma's a beep.
Thank God that happened. Exactly. Karma's a beep.
Karma, right?
Seriously.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, and obviously, you know, like you said, you've Penguins as well. Any Penguin stories? Because you are a hockey fan? Like, are you a kind of hockey fan? Like, we love...
No, I mean, I'm a pre-Mario Lemieux hockey fan. You know, when I went to St. Gwendolyn's Elementary on the border of Baldwin and Carrick, we had a ball hockey league that we played like in a little lyceum that the parents built boards and nets and everything. So we played hockey as young kids before it was a big popular sport in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I was in high school when the Penguins won the Stanley Cup for the first time. And so it was a real thrill to get a chance to cover them. And the crazy thing is when the Penguins have won the Stanley Cup, I really wasn't in the dressing room for the year they won it. Because Marian Hossa had left the Penguins the previous year, and I went into the Detroit locker room to talk to him, as I was just one of the few guys that was willing to go into the losing locker room. And I said, okay, I'll go in and talk to Hossa, which was a big story because he'd said he felt like a better chance to win with the Detroit Red Wings than he did with the Penguins, and then the Penguins won in 7 games in Detroit. But the one that I really remember, and there's so many great moments, I mean, seeing Marc-Andre Fleury make the save on Nicklas Lidström's shot at the last second was, you know, amazing. But the one that I really remember that still kind of gives me goosebumps when I think about it is in Game 5 of the 2008 Stanley Cup Final in Detroit at Joe Louis Arena, which was this old arena that they had built without a press row. So the press row was in the final seating of the stands, just like a bench. We're sitting up there. And everybody else goes, and typically sometime either before the third period or during the third period, everybody goes down underneath to be by the locker room so they can get access as soon as the game ends. Well, I was doing all the social media and website work, and so I was sitting up in the arena, and they bring out the Stanley Cup in the final minute. Detroit's winning the game, and they have the cup behind the goal. I believe it was the Penguins' goal, but they have the cup behind the goal, and everybody in the arena can see the Stanley Cup. And the Red Wings are about to clinch, and there's 35 seconds or so, somewhere in that range, and Max Talbot scores a goal to tie the game.
Oh, that's right.
And they were chanting, "We want the cup! We want the cup!" And the place, like I said, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I do.
They're chanting, "We want the cup!" And the place is, and this is Detroit at its worst, and I mean at its best and its worst at the same time, as a city at its worst, going through a recession, going through the times that we endured before the Renaissance. And so we could really relate. It was like late 70s, early 80s Pittsburgh, really relate to the auto industry failing and everything. But here they were on the brink of winning the Stanley Cup on home ice, and Max Talbot, and I wrote Max Talbot pushed the mute button. He just shut the whole building up in one play. It was amazing.
That's so true.
The Penguins ended up winning, I think it was in triple overtime. Yeah. So I ended up writing a story on each period. So I wrote like 6 stories that night plus a final game story all for the website.
Wow.
So it was amazing. But it was amazing to be in the building. And even though the Penguins came back and lost, and game six. Yeah. It was amazing just to experience a moment like that. So it's not always about the championship
yeah.
moments, but sometimes just those moments that are the ones that are unforgettable. Mm. That as I tell that story,
I still see the hairs up on it.
Yeah. So it's amazing to me.
Now, as I understand it, in the press row, whatever, you're not allowed to cheer. You're not allowed to cheer in the press box. Is that hard? I mean, you grew up here as a fan.
Do you sit on your hands?
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine how hard it would be, like, oh, you know, that kind of thing.
You get a little bit detached from the fandom part of it. Okay. I mean, we're still sports fans. We still love sports. I mean, you still love great moments. You still enjoy covering. I mean, there's nothing better than – I say this with all honesty. There is nothing better than being a Pittsburgh native covering Pittsburgh teams when the teams are winning championships. I mean,
sure.
it is like a high that you can experience that just carries on throughout the city no matter where you go. It's what people want to talk about, and that's what made me want to be a sports writer, is just in experiencing that as a kid and then, you know, kind of combining my passions for love of writing and love of sports. But – in terms of cheering for the teams and rooting for the teams, that doesn't really go on in the press box. Yeah. We still root for great plays. We still cheer. Like, there's still gasps and ohs and wows and things like that. But you don't really see, you know, there's no clapping. There's no cheering. It's kind of a little bit of a distanced, because the other part of it is we actually get to know the people that are involved. So, you know, you don't really ride that roller coaster of emotions where, you know, people get angry at a bad call or a bad decision, a bad play. We just kind of are like, okay, well, you know, we have to ask that guy a question about that after the game. You know that part of it.
Yeah,
is,
right.
That's what comes with the territories. I've got to talk to this person about this. And you know that you see them more as human beings than you do as sports figures.
Mm-hmm. I think my question would be, and it's funny because I wanted you to talk a little bit about, obviously, the big moments, right? Because Pittsburghers love the big moments. But as we talked offline, you went to Penn State. My son's going to Penn State. And I described to you that Penn State to us was cult-like, right? It's this, like, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. If you've not attended or you have attended, it just sucks you in. It's this place, right? Are you seeing that Pitt has that same following? I mean, do you get that same vibe with Pitt, because I know you've covered them before? Or what is that vibe like that's sort of different than Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, it's a much different vibe. I mean, growing up in Pittsburgh and being a Pitt fan as a kid,
yeah.
Both Pitt football and basketball, the following, I think, is at Penn State is very much that there are six Saturdays during the fall, that's kind of like a pilgrimage to go back and get a chance to visit Penn State. For some people, it's about the tailgating and the social part of it. For some people, it's strictly about the football. I mean, I have friends that work at Penn State that are just, they live for Saturdays. And, you know, I went up to the game the one year, just a couple years ago, I think it was for the Pitt-Penn State game, and I was staying with friends, and my friend was like, hey, I need to be ready and get out the door, like, early. And I was like, well, just wake me up and go. And he was gone. He didn't even wait for me. And his wife said to me, she's like, I just don't bother with him on Saturdays. Like, that's his thing. That's his thing. That's what he does.
Right.
But Penn State has a much bigger following. I mean, 107,000 fill that stadium. Pitt doesn't have that kind of a following. But, you know, the thing about it is it's a very much different. If you're in the Heinz Field and there's 60 or 70,000 fans – it feels like there's 100,000 fans when they're winning, when they're playing well.
Yeah.
And so it's just a different feeling. You really can't compare them.
Sure.
But
that's true.
But they've both had some incredible moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at Pitt, think about some of the great players that they've produced at almost every position.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the greatest of all time, in the conversation are going to be Dan Marino, quarterback, Tony Dorsett at running back, Larry Fitzgerald at wide receiver, you know, Aaron Donald at defensive line, Darrell Revis, a cornerback. I mean, they've got some of the greatest players in not just college football history, but NFL history. So that's the thing that I really kind of take out is you're going to see great football when you go to a Pitt football
game. Right. Well, and it's a great answer comparing the two. But when you have the chance to talk to Santonio again, bring up the Larry Fitzgerald thing, because there's a great story there about how Santonio considered going to Pitt but knew Larry was going there and chose not to. Remember? He just told us that. Like, you learn something new every time you're around him, and it's so amazing because – he was like, Larry was the best. Why was I going to go compete? I wouldn't have been who I am because he was sort of made the mark. It's like he had this foreshadowing.
Right.
He was like prolific.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
Prophetic, more so.
Prophetic.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Kevin, this is awesome, and we need to have you come back. Just real quickly about the Pirates. The Pirates, you know, I know in Pittsburgh people are down on it. And you talk to Greg Brown, and Greg Brown is like, this is a baseball-passionate city. You know, if they weren't passionate, they wouldn't be complaining, right? And so I guess your take on it is, and I don't know that much about baseball and the talent and level of talent, but the fact is, it seems like at least when you look at the players, in their minds and their hearts, they believe they can win. Now, execution is different, but the fact is, it's not like they're just a couple of honyaks that showed up. They're making a few million bucks a year, and they're just going to play some baseball. It seems that they really do have a passion that somehow the underdog is going to win. Do you
it's
get
the
that
love of the game?
Do you get that same feeling there?
For one, this is a great baseball town.
Yeah.
The problem with Pittsburgh sports fans is that we're spoiled.
Yes.
We've had so many championships and so many other sports that is the standard. And Pittsburghers won't settle for anything less. And that's kind of the good and bad of Pittsburgh is that the sports fans demand excellence and they won't support anything shy of that. And so the Pirates haven't delivered on that end. We're talking 40-plus years mm-hmm. since they won their last World Series. And the guys that I grew up cheering for, like Dave Parker, you know, these guys are either in their 60s or 70s or right. some of them have passed away. I mean, Willie Stargell passed away, unfortunately, on the day PNC Park had its first home opener. So
yeah.
you think about that, and it's just that's how long it's been. I really, truly disagree with one thing with the Pirates. And they say this and use the Penguins as an example, but I think it's a bad example. They say, well, people, they love the team. They don't love the individual players. They love the team. Pittsburghers connect with the player. They connect the player to the team.
Yeah.
And
true.
When you talk about the Steelers, you're going to talk about Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger. When you talk about the Penguins, you're going to talk about Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr and Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin. When you talk about the Pirates, people talked about Willie Stargell and Dave Parker, Barry Bonds, Andrew McCutchen.
Right.
And so by having the way baseball is set up, unless you really, really invest in one player, which is a tricky thing to do, you're not going to have a guy here for his entire career. So you enjoy them while you can. Right now, the guy you want to enjoy, and he just came back from an injury. Yeah. He was out for 2 months, is Key Brian Hayes. This kid is the real deal. It's electric when he's out there. He had a two-run home run in his first at-bat of the season at Wrigley Field. He comes back, has a single in his first bat. It beats out an infield single, has a triple. Last night, comes back, second game, two-run home run in his first at-bat. Yeah. I mean, the guy's electric. He's fantastic defensively. He's worth the price of admission just to watch him play third
base. Is that
base.
Right? Okay.
That's how I
there
feel about
go.
Him.
Yeah. Brings
a good bat to the lineup. This is a team that is built right now to rebuild. This is a team that's going to take a few years for the Pirates.
Do you feel that, though?
To be competitive. There's a lot of young talent between the ages of 19 and 22
right.
in their system, but they're in the lower levels. So it's going to take them a couple years to get up here. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of a game of chance.
Yeah.
We'll see whether these guys can develop and become stars or whether they're just average players. But right now, this is a team that does not have the depth to withstand any injuries or anything like that. And that's what we've watched the Pirates, that they've had three starting pitchers on the injured list. They've had several position players. Colin Moran is right now still on the injured list. Hayes just came back. So this is a team that has such a small margin for error. And it's because they haven't pumped the money into the payroll. Mm-hmm. They're pumping it into other places.
Yeah.
And that's a bone of contention for Pirates fans.
Yeah.
And I don't I don't blame them one bit for being angry, but I also think you're getting a chance to watch Major League Baseball, and we're fortunate to be one of the cities in America that has the NFL, the NHL, and Major League Baseball, and I don't think we should take that for granted.
Yeah, nice.
And go to the prettiest park ever at PNC Park and grab nachos and a Guinness. That's what I say.
A hot dog. I mean, he talked about hot dogs early. The one place I will definitely have a hot dog is PNC Park.
Not me.
For reals. Yeah.
I'm not sharing nachos either. Kevin Gorman, thank you so much for coming on. Now, don't think that you get away with not answering the question of the day, but tell everybody where they follow you on Instagram, on social media, all that good stuff.
On Instagram, it's by Kevin Gorman, and that's Gorman. And then on Twitter, it's at Kevin Gorman PGH.
Okay.
So I switched
all
my handle.
Handles are different.
Yeah, I switched my handle not too long ago, but it's all caps PGH. And, you know, I'm on Facebook if you want to follow me on there. We're at triblive.com. You can check out my Pirates coverage there. And so, yeah, we're on it. But I want to, before you ask me any questions or anything like that, I want to say I'm checking out Byron. And
isn't he amazing?
While you guys were talking, he's got his fingers on the cords, and I'm checking him out. He's playing music even when he's not playing music. It's like, you know, as somebody who has a passion for what they do, I just can't help but appreciate that, man. It's like, it's the coolest thing to watch somebody who's in their space, and they're and they're in their head, and they're like really enjoying every moment of it. And it's like,
look, he picked that up in one interview.
I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, man, like, this guy's, he's got music in his mind right now. Like, everybody else is talking, and he's in his own world.
And he knows what we talked about. He can multitask.
And his as you kind of observed, his level of intensity for the craft, not to just go out and play music, and the level of intensity to continue improving the craft is incredible.
I mean, and I can't relate to the music end of it, and I won't try to, but I can tell you that, like, you're at a game and you're covering the team, and everybody's chattering in the press box, and we're making jokes the whole time, we're talking baseball the whole time, and then all of a sudden it's time to, like, write your story, and everybody shuts up and everybody zones in, and you just do your job, and and it's like the rest of the world doesn't exist while that's going on. And it's like when you get into that, when you get locked in, it's a kind of a little bit of a different experience, and that's what I love about my job, is when you have those moments, even when I was in a buzzing newsroom, to get a chance to just, like, okay, it's time to write. And you just, you know, forget everything else. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything.
Then you had your marketing friends who came to visit all the time that really distracted the whole process of focus.
It's a good thing you brought me on to be the short-winded guest.
All right, Kevin. Well, no, this is where I say we might have to bring Kevin on quarterly, because I love hearing some of these stories that, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff is always the fun stuff. So here's the big question. It's summertime. Are you going suns out, guns out, or slow and steady? So are you ready for summer? Are you wearing the shorts? Are you wearing the sandals? Or what's your kind of take on summer?
Yeah, this is me being dressed pretty much like year-round under the pandemic circumstances. So, I'm suns out, guns out, and I'm riding my bike. I wish I would have ridden my bike down here today.
Yeah.
I love riding the river trails. That's one of my favorite things to do in the summer. So
Those river trails are amazing.
That's me getting on my bike. I got a new bike this year, so I've already been down to the point a couple times. And so my thing, when they had the point opened up and they put the fountain on, I was like, you know, pool's open, Yinzers, let's go.
Wasn't that a complaint with the water steps that people, like, I'm sorry, I just spit on you. Moms were like, let's go to the pool. But, like, they weren't going to the pool. They were going to, like, the water steps at PNC Park.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walk by like, I'm that mom. My oldest son still won't do public pools. He's like, somebody else is in there.
5 minutes from Sandcastle. I had season passes there for years. Well, you know, my trick, if you're going to Sandcastle, go around 2 or 3 o'clock and you have the park to yourself
pretty much.
Is that right?
I took my son there all the time. We'd go 3 days a week sometimes.
Yeah.
We'd go down there 2 or 3 o'clock and ride all the slides, no lines.
See, we got traff tips today.
Oh.
We got sandcastle tips today.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Listen.
Sweet.
Kevin had the best segue, so we'll just go to our boy.
Yeah, do it.
Our favorite guy. Pick
up your microphone. No, don't even worry about it. Just
he's like, I'll play.
Microphone,
he's like, guys,
Kevin might even help us interview you today. So. Byron, you got enough link there? All right, cool.
No,
Byron Nash.
You know, John, that's a good idea because we've interviewed him. He's our SNL guest. Wonder what questions Kevin might have.
Right,
put him on the spot as a reporter,
I think
it'd
be
awesome, start, and then you could jump in.
Yeah. So,
essentially, we love having you. Like, that's all we can say. When we found out, no exaggeration, when we found out you were going to be on, you know, it was like this sense of relief, because sometimes when you're talking to an artist or a musician whom you've not spoken to before, you have to really be creative on what the questions are.
Yeah.
Not that we're not creative with you, but you tell the story. Like, we literally can hand you a microphone. And like John and Kevin picked up, you are one of the hardest working people, and not just musically, but now you kind of have this new gig that we definitely want to talk about.
Yeah. It's called Do Your Wellness, and it's don't underestimate your ability. It's a fitness and growth program, so I'm training people one-on-one or in groups to really hone in on their fitness and their wellness. A lot of people gained weight last year. A lot of people were depressed. I was one of them. And even though I was very active, I still didn't feel as good as I knew I could. And then I hired a nutritionist around October just to kind of help me get my eating under wraps, because being a bartender for a long time, you work weird hours, you don't eat when you're hungry, you drink a beer after work. There are all these different elements that were kind of like combating my actual active lifestyle. And once I got that under control, I was 250 in October and I lost 45 pounds and I'm not on a diet. So I wanted to be able to help other people, especially in the industry, figure out ways to be healthy, change, you know, replace some of the habits, functional fitness. You know, they don't necessarily have to be throwing barbells over their head.
Right.
But if you have to pick up something heavy, that's a deadlift. If you got to pick up a heavy bag of dog food, if you have to pick up your kids, if you have to put something overhead, and just try to figure out how to help people be healthier. And, like, I'm fully booked. So much that I quit bartending.
What?
Did you know that?
Is that
yeah.
right? I did not realize you
he
quit
just
bartending.
Told me that
yeah.
when we got
yeah.
here. I couldn't
wow.
believe it.
I love the
so
idea.
So, John, let's move in with Leslie Bonsi and Byron Nash.
Right, right, right. Well, I love the idea of functional fitness
yeah.
because even bicycling, like Kevin was talking about bicycling, like if you have a bicycle, you have to take the bicycle, you have to put it on the back of your car. Maybe you have to put the rack on the back mm-hmm. of your car. Then you put the bicycle, then you drive somewhere, and then you get off, you do all, then you go bicycling.
Yeah.
To me, life... My boss is always keeps me busy, so I don't necessarily know that I have that kind of time.
Yeah.
However, if I can just get on my bike, throw it, and go riding somewhere, I'm good. But talk about the functional fitness side of that.
The other thing about fitness, too, I think people go off of how people look. And I'm talking about more of an internal thing. So, yes, you can lose weight and you can get fit and have muscles and stuff. But I know people who might look 1,000 times more in shape than me that couldn't last a 6-minute workout. Because they're not fit internally. So it's more about being able to do the things you would normally do in your life better and having more mobility and having more flexibility. You know, we sit at our desk, we're on our computers, we're on our phones. All those things kind of make you shrink and your muscles aren't getting used the way that you want or that they should. And so I try to do things that would make you stronger, your whole body work together. So it's not like, oh, we had leg day. Yeah, your legs might be more sore because you did lunges and squats that day. But your whole body has to work together. So it's like, no, you have to, like, squeeze your butt and you have to squeeze your abs. And you have to – is that the wrong B word?
No, it's so funny.
I say that a lot.
It rhymes with stitches.
Yeah.
Is so, the wrong B word.
That's my B word.
But, like, you know, there's a lot of lack of body awareness.
Yes.
So if you told the average person, hey, hold this thing over your head, most people will be here. It's like, nope, shoulders back. And so you really teach people to understand their body so they can move better in life. So that's sort of
such
what I'm
a
going
good
for.
Point. Yeah. yeah. No, and the reason that I'm laughing about the butt, the squeeze your butt, is, you know, our thing is because our days are so long from marketing that it's okay. You know, we might be at the Steam Fitters at this time, and then you know we're headed down to do a Truly whatever.
Yep.
And then I have three kids that you add in. Everybody has a thing, right? Everybody
yes.
has their thing, but we make sure that we walk every morning for about 5 miles.
Yeah.
And I will say to him, instead of just walking, I'm squeezing my butt right now. Like yeah. And it's a joke, but like I'm literally trying to do that because I'm 45
yeah.
and any little chance you can get to kind of like figure it out on the run. And
yeah.
isn't that part of it is people don't have the time.
Well, they have the time.
They're saying they don't have the time.
They need to do a true audit about like the importance of like investing them in
yes.
themselves. Because I think if you sat on Sunday and looked at what you did for the week, somewhere in there, you had 5 minutes.
That's right.
You had 5 minutes. You were on Instagram for probably 45 minutes.
Yes.
You know, even if it was over time. So if you dedicated 5 minutes a day, and that's what I tell my clients. I'm like, if you can't put 5 minutes in a day, it doesn't matter what I make you do. You're not going to improve.
Right.
I need you to do work on your own. We work together. I give people homework. I send them stretching routines. And I make them all very short so that the time isn't an excuse. And then if they can work that into their lives, we can progress faster. And so that's sort
brilliant.
Of the thing. Yeah.
It's so brilliant because you simplify it.
Yeah, make it easy.
Yeah.
Least resistance.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's
A
so
to B,
true. There's
know?
So many fads. When we spoke to Leslie Bonsi, you know, she's this nutritionalist who started with Pitt. And she's trained many athletes and things like that. And she was saying, like John was joking, but was saying like his biggest, he loves McDonald's,
yeah.
right? Now, how funny, I don't like unhealthy food,
mm-hmm.
but mine is probably either portion control or time
yeah.
of when I'm eating, because I'd rather eat a loaf of bread
yeah.
and then not eat the rest of the day. Well, that's certainly not good.
Yeah.
You know, so I think everybody has their thing,
yeah.
but you're right. If you really ascertain where you need to improve,
mm-hmm.
that's half of it.
And just make it a little easier. It's not that you have to give up your life. You don't have to stop drinking beer.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop eating bread, but maybe change your relationship with it. And
yeah.
that's sort of the thing that I wanted to tell people. So it didn't feel so daunting, because then it's like if one thing doesn't go right, they just kind of give up. I'm like, it's okay that you had that mistake. Now how do we repair it the next day?
Right.
And just each day trying to improve 1% so that over time it's compounded and you can actually feel and see results instead of just hoping it, you know, for it
yeah.
to happen in like a month. It's not going to happen in a month, but it can happen in a month
yeah.
if we really dial in on
right.
it. So, and I work really closely with them to achieve that. And everyone's at different levels. I have a client, she's in her 60s, and she will smash you on jump ropes. I was like, when's the last time you jump roped? She was like, I was 9. And she's like, I don't even know if I can do this. And she started, and I was like, oh my God, you're killing it. So everyone's at different levels, and then I gauge it to help them improve the fastest for them, cater to them.
Kevin, you have a question for him at all? Not to put you on the spot,
yeah,
but I'm just curious.
But you are a journalist. You
yeah.
know
well, on that note, on staying on the health note, I mean, I lost 40 pounds this past year during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I walked 100 miles a month from May through the end of September.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And I didn't lose a pound. So
damn, he's saying our routine sucks.
No, but I walked. I did hikes. I went through Shenley Park and Frick Park and South Park and didn't lose a pound. And you have to put the diet part of it has to be in there. It doesn't have to be a diet. I mean, I do intermittent fasting. I've cut down on carbs. I've cut down on sugar.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'm talking about my biggest weaknesses was snacking at night, mm-hmm. eating pasta, eating bread, and eating sweets. It's just a really about discipline. So
I don't think I could do the fast.
I feel like I have to go to divorce court to divorce myself from pasta, pizza, and beer.
You don't have to get rid of it.
You said change the relationship.
You just have to cut
I have
it
to
back.
Cut ties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just cut it back. And the thing with intermittent fasting, it's not that you're starving yourself.
Yeah.
You're just choosing when to eat. So having an 8-hour block of time that I can eat, so they call it 16-8, so 16 hours I'm not eating. If 8 hours of it, if I actually slept that long, but if 8 hours
right.
of it is half of that, you're not really, it's not like you're awake
I get
just
it.
Being hungry.
Sure.
And you just kind of eat a little bit later. So you skip breakfast and eat around 11, but eat something healthy.
Yeah.
And so you can burn those calories and change your metabolism throughout the day. That's really what
it
is.
But are you assessing like who needs that or because maybe that's not for me.
Yeah,
right.
If it doesn't, it's the same thing with like fitness. Like, not everyone needs to do a deadlift.
Yeah.
You know, not
yeah,
everybody not needs to do a burpee. Not everybody needs to push a sled.
Yeah.
So I'll find the thing that works for them. And the nutrition is like the next level. If they just want to do fitness, that's one thing. If they want the nutrition element, that's another stage. If they want the sort of life coaching element where it's like a real growth process, I have some people, even though I'm working with them on fitness, it's really about the conversations on how to improve ourselves and our lives that. That's why they come to me. It's not because of the other stuff.
So, like, Kevin, you're saying you walked an incredible amount, but changing your diet was the biggest thing.
Yeah, I was just maintaining my weight walking. I was getting good exercise. My legs felt great.
Yeah.
I was in good shape. My stamina was better. But it wasn't until I didn't start losing weight until I started eating better.
Yeah.
And like he said, it was, you know, to me it's not – I don't view the 16-8 is the time that you can't eat. I just view it as the time that you can. Like, I don't look at it in a negative perspective. I look at it as a positive way of saying. But if I had a real question, and this is the question I had on my mind, was, you know, I have my son is 17 years old. He's interested in learning how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
I've spoken to writing classes about, and they said, what do you do if you have writer's block, or what if you don't know how to get started? And I just said, just start writing. Whether you write backwards from end to beginning, or you write in the middle and then figure it all out. I said, you don't have to write in order. You don't have to do
it.
There's not a rule you have to follow. Just start writing. If you were to explain to somebody how you would suggest, here's how I'd learn how to play the guitar or play any type of music. Mm-hmm. What would your, for a beginner, how would you suggest for a beginner to learn how to play an instrument and just basically say, here's where I would start and This is what I do is maybe as a warm-up exercise or something when if you have a block or if you're just working through something, here's where I start playing music.
I think a good practice is to just keep it fun. There's a hard work element. It's like, all right, I got to sit here and get my hands in physical shape. But when you're starting out, you should just kind of mess around with it and listen to as much different styles of music as possible. I don't read music, so I play by ear. And one of the ways that helped me get better was playing along with records. I'm dating myself, but whatever. I love vinyl.
Yeah.
That's how I learned.
And now Smokey Robinson's your best friend.
Yeah,
so,
you know, so like,
must
cool
be
things
nice.
Are happening.
Yeah.
But then over time, like when I was like, man, my playing isn't where I want it to be, I would try different things. So I like to learn guitar solos. I started learning female vocals. So I was like playing with a Tori Amos record or Bjork. I'm like, if I can find those notes and like have these little fun games with myself, and then it kind of became my style, and just always experiment. Like, don't get stuck on, it has to be a certain way. There's no wrong way. The only wrong thing is not playing.
That's the only thing you can do wrong when it comes to writing is stare at a blank screen.
Yeah.
Just start writing something.
Play
through
the dark spots, and then you'll have like, you know, you'll have a peak that comes. And sometimes if you're really just banging on the idea and it's not coming, walk away from it. Do something completely different so that you're using a different part of your brain. And then you come back and you're like, oh, boom, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to walk away from the idea to really get to it faster.
All right, we are getting the wraps.
But I love that we're going back to music and that you will be here tonight at the Three Rivers Arts Festival. Where else are you performing so that people can come see you?
Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival. So you're here tonight, 6 o'clock this stage.
I will be here on the Riverside stage. I have a new band debuting tonight called Nashville. No E.
Woo!
It's a power trio. It sort of came together by accident, and a month ago I got booked to play a sort of like a virtual concert solo, and then I just asked, you know, hey, can you play with me? And then I'm like, is your brother available? So I have two brothers, bass and drums, and at the sound check, and we'd only had one rehearsal and played, and I was super nervous we were going to be terrible, and it sounded awesome. And they were like, so what do you think about maybe just keeping on doing this? I was like, I don't know if I want a band. And we rehearsed.
You always say that. But
yeah. And we rehearsed 4 days this week. And it sounds,
Byron,
sounds great.
I can't wait.
It sounded so good that we kept stopping because we were like, oh, man, this is going to this is gonna hit tomorrow.
High five.
Like, I haven't had that band excitement in a long time. So it's
so you're booked all summer.
I mean, right now I have about 23 gigs booked.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just 23.
My goal is 50.
Yeah, all right.
Of course it is, because you're
That's
a goal.
So as we, how about this? As we start to give our thank yous, first of all, tell everybody where they find you online for both your fitness.
So my website's about to come out, but you can follow me on Facebook. I have Do Your Wellness, and then it's Do Your Wellness on Instagram. And if you're interested, just inbox me there. And then on Instagram, it's Byron_Nash412, and then Byron Nash on Facebook.
Nice.
Best musician. He's my fave. I'm not partial. He's a great guy, but he's my favorite musician.
So we're going to employ Kevin a little bit more. So, Byron, if you want to put your microphone down, go ahead and play us out as we do our thank yous, So, all right. So, Rach.
We just hired Kevin Gorman to help
out
with no pay.
He just put that on his LinkedIn profile. I saw him typing that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is going to be one of my favorite podcasts. No exaggeration. Yeah. Thank you so much to the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, to the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival for having us, and especially to Sarah Z's for being so patient, helping us out, as well as Ariel and the whole team, because we had a great conversation.
And thanks to Max here. We told him we'd only be 45 minutes, but I think he knows we're liars.
Yeah.
All right. And of course,
thanks to Kevin Gorman. Thank God I have friends in the bins.
Thanks to Colin Parrish, as always. And of course, thank you to Rorik Honda.
And Byron Nash. Summer 2021 is driving people to events and happenings, and Rorik Honda is part of that drive. From parking lot shows, hosting comedy acts, to a collab with Mancini's,
Rorik knows the importance of community fun. Congratulate them on record month in May, and browse the inventory list in Bloomfield. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.